as you can tell, it's 11:44. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So join me in Judges chapter 6, if you would. And this morning, I want to focus on assurances for the journey. Assurances for the journey. As we look at God and Gideon, assurances for the journey. You know, this time of the year, we are celebrating many different graduations and proms. It's just a busy season of the year. And our family got to experience a spiritual marker on Friday morning when our daughter Tori graduated from LSU. Now, during the ceremony, and it was the largest graduating class in LSU's history, and she was second to last in line. So we were there for a full duration. But the good news is, when there were about 10 left, the energy went up and people started acting a little more boisterous and excited. So by the time Tori walked across the stage, I mean, it was a roar and excitement. But for me, during that whole time, for 2 hours, just looking down at where she was seated, it gave me an opportunity to reflect on the faithfulness of God. And just thanking God for Tori's 22 years of living and all that God had done to bring her to that place. I mean, just thinking about God's provision throughout her lifetime and all that God had done to overcome obstacles and to advance her, to bless her, and even in our marriage and family, just looking at all that God had done to demonstrate his faithfulness. And that's been our theme, the faithfulness of God, that through it all, God is faithful, and God is faithful, say it with me, through it all. So we're in Judges chapter 6, looking at the assurances for the journey. And I want you to write the first one down. Assurance number one, you can trust God. You can trust God. We're going to pick up now in Judges chapter 6. We're going to pick up on the cycle that Israel was experiencing. Here in verse 1, the word of God says, "The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years." Now, what we see is when God would raise up a judge, the people would come into alignment for a short season. There was some form of restoration, but remember, no repentance, just remorse that they were combating consequences to their sin, but they were still enjoying their sin. They just wanted God to remove the consequences so they could continue their pattern. So God would raise up a judge. They would come into conformity for a season. The judge would die, and then they would return to their immorality. So here God is being faithful to his word. God is being true to his word. And he is allowing them to experience the consequences of their disobedience by placing them into the hands of the Midianites. But I want you to notice how you can trust God. To be true to his word, you can trust God to be faithful even when we're not. And we see here in chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. Now, we got to meet Deborah, the prophetess, that God would speak through her to confront the people of Israel. Here, this is an unnamed prophet who is speaking forth the word of God and just reaffirming God's truth. And here's what we discover. God is faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness. Can you identify? We also learn that God pursues in the midst of our imperfections. So this morning, whatever season of life you're in, whatever you're walking through right now in your current reality, what you will discover is that even in those seasons when you let go of God, God will not let go of you. Even in those seasons where you become unfaithful to God, maybe you distance yourself from God, maybe you turn away from God, the good news is God still pursues us even in the midst of our imperfections. We also learn that God is faithful in spite of our flaws. Now, would you look to someone and say, now, how many flaws do you have? Would you ask them? Go ahead. You've been wanting to ask that, right? Did you want to point some out? Here's the wonderful news. This is where we are on common ground, that God is faithful in spite of our flaws. And we all have flaws. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we notice that even in our faithlessness, God is faithful. If you'll write down 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Timothy's now pastoring in Ephesus. And Paul says, if we are faithless, he, God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In other words, God would never do anything contrary to his nature and his character. You can trust God. You can anchor your life to the rock of God's nature and character. If you'll write 1 Corinthians 1:9, this is my life verse. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What you'll discover in life, whether you're early in life and you don't have many years behind you, whether you are in a transition where you feel like you're at midlife, or maybe you feel like you're near the end of the waterfall and in any moment you're going to go to glory. Wherever you are, I can say this with clarity. You can trust God. And Gideon's about to understand that personally. Here's assurance number two. You can do what God calls you to do. You can do what God calls you to do. Now, what we understand about God is revealing himself to us. Romans 1 tells us that God reveals himself through nature so that we can know him through what he has made known to us through nature, that when you walk outside, you're like, whoa, this is bigger than us. This is beyond us. And it points you toward God. God has revealed himself specifically through the Lord Jesus Christ, that God robed himself in flesh, dwelt among us, that he lived for 33 years upon this earth, a sinless life, died a sacrificial death on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Let me get up here to say that. Now, why was it borrowed? Because Jesus only needed 3 days. Because 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the dead, and the tomb is empty. And what we understand is that Jesus is coming again to receive his church. God is faithful. And God is faithfully revealing himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and of course, through his Holy Word. So you come into relationship with God through Jesus. That is first. You come to know him personally and intimately. You're adopted into God's family, filled by God's Spirit, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You come into harmony with God. Now you know God. You have assurance of eternal life. You're going to heaven. Now God is unfolding for you your design assignment. He has an assignment designed for you. That's the very special role that God wants you to fulfill in this life. You say, but Pastor Stephen, you have no idea how many mistakes I've made. Here's the good news. God has factored that in. You have no idea how many detours I've made along the way. God has already factored that in. But you don't understand the kind of family I came out of. You have no idea the obstacles that I've overcome. There's no way God can use me. God has factored in all those different dynamics. And now we get to Gideon. What's so unique about Gideon here in the book of Judges is 3 chapters are given to his life, more than any other person in Judges. 100 verses allocated to Gideon. Samson comes in second with 96, and we'll get to him in a coming Sunday. But you can do what God calls you to do. And I want you to be encouraged by what God does through Gideon's life. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Look with me now at chapter 6, verse 11. You there? Chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, that is a very obscure phrase. Why would he be threshing wheat at the wine press? Why not outside where the wind's blowing the chaff and the kernel falls? Well, what we understand is that the Midianites are robbing the Israelites of their crops. And so they're having to go produce food in private. And so Gideon is in hiding. Gideon is trying to secure food for his family by utilizing a wine press. It'd be a much slower process. It's in obscurity. He's in survival mode. So this is not a pleasant time. He's trying to go through the McDonald's drive-thru in stealth fashion. He's trying to provide for his family. So this is not a favorable environment. But I want you to notice what God does in that obscure circumstance. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Would you say that with me? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, we believe that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ making himself known. And notice what happens. And said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now, it doesn't look like Gideon's a mighty man. He's in hiding. He's in obscurity. But what we're going to notice is empowered by God, he'll be a mighty man for God. When you bring in the God factor, it changes everything. Notice, and Gideon said to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? If God's favor is upon our life, God, then why are we experiencing these difficult times? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. You can see how Gideon feels abandoned by God. Has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Now, not Gideon, you just go in your own strength, but go in this might of yours that's coming your way as I empower you. And notice what happens. Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And that really matters. And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Now, here's a parallel to Moses at the burning bush arguing with God. Can't someone else go, Lord, are you sure you got the right one? Arguing with God. And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. You want to talk about a poor self-image. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. Would you say that with me? But I will be with you. And you shall strike the Midianites as one man. What a great encounter. God revealing himself to Gideon at a very strategic moment to call him. Now, God has a call on your life. God calls us to salvation so that we can be right with God. By grace through faith are you saved. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. God draws you to himself by the power of the Holy Spirit, convicting you of sin, convincing you of the righteousness of Christ. God draws you into salvation. But God also calls you into fulfilling his plan. God has something very unique for you to do in your life. God has uniquely shaped you for significance. You're not an accident. You are a divine appointment right where you are. God is positioning you. God is preparing you to mobilize you to make an eternal difference for his glory. God has something he wants you to give your life to. We see here in Gideon's life, he's asking for additional assurance. Now, if you had this encounter with the Lord, and in that encounter he called you and told you exactly what it was going to be like, no, go do it, and you would say, but I need more evidence. I need more assurance. And God was so gracious in giving Gideon further assurance. One of the most famous stories, of course, outside of him preparing this food and then the angel of the Lord striking the food with his staff and the fire consumes it, which parallels to 1 Kings 18 when Elijah had the altar and the sacrifice ready and it was consumed by fire from God. There's a parallel here. Now, that's significant assurance, significant. But then we see how Gideon is obeying God. And he's pulling down the altar of Baal, his daddy's worship experience. He's now combating the family pagan religion. And Gideon, in the nighttime, gets 10 men together. They pull down the Baal worship altar, and they pull down the Asherah pole, and then he builds a new altar. The next morning, the men of the city recognize something has gone down here. Something's not right. They find that it's Gideon. They come after Gideon. The dad steps in and says, you don't have to contend for Baal. Baal can handle this situation. Of course, we know that Baal's a false god, a dead god. He's not alive. He is not real. And so God preserves Gideon's life even there. But that's still not enough. Now Gideon wants additional assurance. So he takes a fleece of wool. And he says to the Lord, he says, now, I want you to make the fleece have dew and the ground be dry. So guess what happens? God delivers. And the fleece was filled with dew, the ground was dry. It was so wet and consumed that he wrung it out and filled up a bowl with water. But that wasn't enough. God, if you're really calling me to save Israel, if you're really going to pull this off, then this time I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. Let's change it up a little bit. It'd be like when you were a kid and you're outside playing basketball and you're saying, okay, God, if you want me to do this, let me make this two-pointer. And you make it. And you're like, okay, God, if you really want me to do this, I want to hit this half-court shot. Have you ever done that? It's as though Gideon just wants more and more affirmation, even after the divine encounter he had with God. And God delivers. But I think the epitome of the story is when God reveals his glory by saying to Gideon, bring out the people, and you have too many. He goes from an army of 32,000 down to 300. 32,000 to 300. and God's purpose in that, because it made no sense. God's purpose was so that God would receive the glory. And God is really big about receiving glory and not us. Now God unleashes his glory through Gideon as Gideon mobilizes 300 men. Now this would not work in our United States Military Academy. This would not work with the president's cabinet. This would not work in our military strategy. But when God's in it, God will have his way. So here's what God does. God tells Gideon to get the 300, separate them into three groups of 100. They have a trumpet in hand, they have a torch in hand, and they have a clay jar that is solid so that they can cover up the light. They're now mobilized to go to the Midianite camp at 10 p.m., and they're going to engage in warfare. And here's what's so amazing about it, is that at 10 p.m., the sign is given. You have 300 people taking on, listen carefully, 135,000 people. 300 versus 135,000 people at 10 p.m. So they now blow the trumpet. They remove the light, the torch from its cover. They rupture the clay pots. That makes noise. They shout. They blow the trumpets. It brings such confusion to the Midianites that the Midianites, they awaken and they start killing each other off. And the Gideon's army did not fire a shot. They didn't swing a sword. They didn't have to do anything except obey God and do God's work God's way. And I love how Warren Wiersbe packaged this as so powerful. The steps in Gideon's victory are easy to trace. He had a promise to believe, an altar to build, a vessel to break, a lamp to burn, and a trumpet to blow, and God gave the victory. You see how God operates? Assurance number two is you can do what God calls you to do. Now, God called Gideon to defeat the Midianites and to do it God's way. Now, what about us? Champion Forest Baptist Church, what is God calling us to do? Gideon defeated the enemy, and God's called us to defeat the enemy. And here's how we defeat the enemy, by staying on mission with God. We defeat the enemy by reaching people for Christ. And that is our mandate from heaven to fulfill the Great Commission, to fulfill Acts 1:8. God has called us to reach people for Christ. And we'll defeat the enemy. God has called us to give our lives to depopulate hell and to populate heaven. Can I have an amen? That's what we're giving our lives to. It's an eternal mission that God's called us to because it makes an eternal difference. But there's a window of time that God's implanted in us to operate under his special anointing. And that's now. To reach people for Christ and to claim them from the enemy. And God's called us to extend our reach and to expand our influence. God's calling us, praise God, to move from being portable to permanent. Are you feeling the love flowing there? From portable to permanent. And we have about an 18-month to a 2-year window of time as we prepare for that transition. And I thought it'd be fitting in this setting, as we're talking about God's faithfulness through Gideon's life, what we need to do to be faithful these next 2 years. I want to give you 4 things to write down very quickly. What to do while we wait to relocate. What to do while we wait to relocate. Number one, carry your corner. Carry your corner. Just as Gideon's army of 300 did their job. They each fulfilled the role they were given and the time frame they were given. And what I want to challenge us to do is to carry our corner. As you know, we asked God to raise up 300 people to come here 2.5 years ago. And we now have 1,300 people who call the North Campus home. God has blessed us with tremendous growth. God has blessed us with people. And it's so powerful because our guests are inviting guests. That's the movement of God. But here's what we're discovering. Is those who've been serving on Blue Crew, those who've been serving hospitality and kids ministry, have been serving faithfully and diligently, and we continue to grow, we need more help. And so I'm going to challenge you to step up and step out and say, you know what, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve. And maybe you say, I'll be on the Blue Crew. All you have to do to be on the Blue Crew is show up any Sunday morning at 6 a.m. and we'll put you on a team. You may say, but I'm too tired. I'm still kind of sleepy. We've got coffee ready for you. You come on in. We'll give you some coffee, and we'll let you sleepwalk down the hall. We'll give you a Blue Crew shirt. We'll plug you in on a team because we need everybody to carry your corner. Here's number two. Not only carry your corner, but invite others into the journey. Invite others into the journey. This is not a solo flight. This is not for us. This is for those who aren't here yet. And we're to invite other people into the journey of what God's doing. Invite them to come with you. Invite them to sit with you. And if you would be willing, take them to lunch. Let them treat. No, don't let them treat. Take them to lunch and treat them. Invite them into the journey. And then number three, cultivate generosity. Cultivate generosity. This is a time to get our financial house in order. This is a time to start preparing to create margin. Because as Pastor David said, in February or March, we're going to be coming to our church family for all of us to make a sacrificial commitment to a giving campaign for maybe 2 or 3 years to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars to do what God's called us to do. And guess who's going to pay for it? Raise your hand with me. Raise your hand with me. Yeah, everybody. Let's go. Raise your hand. I don't see your hand back. Bumpy, raise that hand back on the back row. There you go. I just want to make sure you're okay. It's going to take all of us doing our part. So now's time to cultivate generosity and to get our house in order and to create margin financially so that we can make a bold commitment come February or March of next year. And then number four, stay flexible. Stay flexible. We're growing, we're moving, we're portable. There may come a time where we go to 3 morning services and 3 Sunday school hours. We just got to be flexible. We may have classes merge and others that will multiply. We just got to stay flexible. There's such a beauty when you go to our student ministry at 10 o'clock life groups, and they start out in the cow palace to experience that aroma. Then some of them move back into the atrium, and some stay in the cow palace. And you thought it's this new cologne. No, it's the cow palace aroma. But they're willing to stay flexible to reach people for Christ. So what do you think? Is God faithful? Can you trust God? And can God mobilize you to do what he's called you to do? And the answer is yes. And here's where it starts. It all starts when you come to Jesus. That's the first step of obedience. It's just coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, I need you to transform my life, to save me. We've talked about assurances along the way. Here's the most important assurance of your lifetime, and that's the assurance of heaven and eternal life. That's the assurance you want to firm up this morning. Don't play games with God. Don't gamble with eternity. If you've never received the gift of eternal life, the greatest assurance I can offer you is the assurance of heaven and eternal life by turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. Come to Jesus this morning. Now, we want to help you in that step. We want to help you in that decision that will change you forever. To my left and your right, right behind these double doors here, room 308 is our friendship room. Right after the service, I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus by going to room 308. Someone will be there to assist you. They'll sit down with you and say, what's on your heart? Just share with you them that you want to know Jesus personally and you want to have the assurance of eternal life. And they'll share with you this morning how you can come to know Christ. And then for those of us who already know the Lord, have you followed in believers' baptism? Our next baptismal service is June 12th, and you can schedule your baptism. Maybe for you, you'd say, Pastor Stephen, I am a believer. I know the Lord. Let me challenge you to fully surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Every area of your life, fully surrender to him, so that day by day, it will be evident that he is Lord of all in your life. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and eyes closed. Let me give you an opportunity to do business with God right where you are. Jesus has already done all the work. And I love Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to our rescue so that we could come into relationship with God. Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Just as God intervened to equip and mobilize Gideon to defeat the Midianites, God has defeated sin, death, hell, the grave by allowing Jesus to come to our rescue. Would you be willing today to turn from sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation? Room 308 is your next step. Child of God, Are you willing to fully surrender to the Lordship of Christ every area of your life? Would you be willing to do that? And then this week, find a place to serve here at the North Campus and start serving next Sunday. Begin praying about someone to invite to join you next Sunday. Begin getting your financial house in order, assessing your finances and creating margin. And then embrace flexibility. Just stay flexible. Let God have His way in your life.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.